Okay, so the journal prompt was pick any character in Mark Twain's works and explain how he or she is changed by his or her experiences. Miss Palma did commend me on my rhetorical flair, though, and that's gotta count for something. So my work was made up. My rents wouldn't be getting the dreaded phone call from Mrs. Galley, I could stay in All City, and it looked as though my school worries were over. But who are we kidding here? Nobody knows how to get slapped down by fate like Stephen Alper. Just when things were turning around, I got the flu. Big whoop, right? Sweat a little, barf a little, lie in bed, watching videos for a few days while the rents wait on you hand and foot. Not a bad deal overall. However, if you have a brother with leukemia who needs to avoid exposure to viruses, you can't be in the same house as your parents when you have the flu. So just when I needed my parents the most, in my hour of deepest need and intestinal crampage, they shipped me off across town to my grandpa and grandma's. Now, I love my grandpa as much as I love anybody. And my grandma's all right, too, when she's not dusting around me every 5 minutes or nagging me about my posture. But their house is, to put it mildly, primitive. Do they have a VCR? No. DVD player? Nope. CD player? Negatory. Computer? No. PlayStation? Uh-uh. It was like my parents had sent their diseased eldest child to Siberia. I spent a total of 8 days in that glorified hut, but I mostly just slept the first few away. The last five were the problem. How many games of Go Fish can a normal 13-year-old boy play with his grandma without suffering permanent brain damage? Hopefully the limit is more than the 17 in a row I played with mine. How long can that same normal boy talk with his grandfather without running out of meaningful things to say? The answer to that is 4 days, if the boy is essentially comatose for the first three of them. And how weird does my grandparents' house smell, by the way? Once my nose started clearing up on day five, my nausea got even worse because that odd aroma of old pot roast mixed with mothballs was nobody's idea of a stomach soother. Speaking of pot roast, I had spent the 3 months before this involuntary visit subsisting only by a combination of my wits and the microwave. You would think that this week of having actual food prepared by a human cook would have been a welcome change. However, despite the lingering meat fumes, my grandma never fed me anything other than bananas, rice, applesauce, and toast in consideration of my illness. It got so bad that I actually spent hours lying on the couch watching grandma knit, plotting ways to sneak into the kitchen and steal some meat. How pathetic is that? A week with the grand rents and I was desperate enough to contemplate the vile crime of beef felony. Another few days and I would have probably gotten scurvy or goiter or something. There were some good things about that week, though. Lack of school attendance comes to mind as the biggest treat, although I was worried about having more makeup work to do and about failing my finals. I got lots of phone calls from my mom and Jeffrey, and they even dropped stuff off in my grand rent's mailbox for me. The nicest one was a present from Jeffrey, with a note my mom must have told him how to spell. "Dear Stephen, I'm sorry you are so sick. I sent Matt Medic to help you get better. When he gives you a magic flu buster shot, make sure you think strong, no flu thoughts. Dr. Perot said that's important. Also, Mommy told Daddy you sound like you're about to die. If you promise you will get better instead of dying, I promise I will too. Your pal, Jeffrey Alper." Good thing he put his last name on there, huh? I also got some surprise phone calls. I guess my parents were giving everyone my grandparents' number in the hopes that they would all call and save me from a slow, agonizing death by malnutrition and gin rummy. Annette called me twice. A couple of the guys from school left messages, and Mr. Watrous and Miss Palma each called once. It was exceptionally strange talking on the phone with teachers. I mean, I was lying there in ratty sweatpants amid a vast sea of soggy tissues. It couldn't have been a pretty mental picture. Mr. Watrous asked me whether I was practicing, and I told him I was practicing my tissue basketball skills. Then I got all embarrassed. I mean, I know teachers are people, or at least most of them are, but you don't usually talk with them exactly like you talk with everybody else. Still, any call that got me away from watching All in the Family and Golden Girls with Grandma for the third straight evening was an A-OK call in my book.